This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 93, where we're going to talk to blog post extraordinaire Andrew Connell about developers and SharePoint not being a platform. Recorded live Wednesday, August 26, 2015. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
I can't believe you said that.
Good morning, AC. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, man. That's a... That intro kind of was a bit blindsiding. It's funny.
Man, glad you liked it.
Absolutely.
So what's going on in your world? You look like, so for those who can't see, this is an audio pod show, but AC and I talk on video. It looks like you're in a hotel room.
I'm in a hotel room. I am in Boston this week at the SP TechCon conference, to where I'm doing did a workshop this week and doing a handful of presentations. Did one really interesting one yesterday that I'll mention a little bit later when we get into the topic. But yeah, it's kind of nice because all my sessions are in the afternoon. I've got a bunch of work to do, so I've been hiding in my room in the morning just getting work done. So it's a good thing we don't do this as a video podcast, as I'm just sitting here in my undershirt ready to put my work shirt on to head downstairs and go grab lunch in a little bit.
Very smooth. I see you're a professional conference goer, speaker, I should say. Hey, one quick thing. I don't know if you listen to our pod show or not, but I listen to episodes every once in a while just to see how they turn out. Hmm. And I started listening to last week's one with Stuart Kwan on Azure AD and identity and things, and I got hooked. Like, I had to listen to the whole thing again. I loved the show. I thought he was really interesting and very articulate and clear and really boiled it down for us. And I really enjoyed the show. And so I listened to the whole thing again yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I did the same thing. I listened to the whole show yesterday while I was in my room working on some stuff. And, I know we talked about it on the podcast. I know that we mentioned it the week before. But I don't think the 365 devs that are out there are aware of this V2 app model coming from Azure AD and the fact that you can do where the dynamic consent is. So I know that I want to put together a little blog post to kind of explain, here's what's so cool about it. I've explained it to a few people and they're kind of confused. So then I use my analogy about dating and they totally get it once I do that, but it's a little, it's a little off color. So I can't really, there's sometimes you can't use it. Sometimes you can. Like, some guys, like, it came up in the workshop that I did this week. And this guy said, I have an analogy for it, but I don't really know how to best go about it. There was a bunch of ladies in the room. And I'm like, yeah, let's just not do that. This isn't going to go well.
Yeah. But I thought it was a great show. Like, when he was talking about, the two systems coming together and what's new in the new app model for Azure AD Auth, I was hooked. Anyway.
I'm right there with you, right there with you. So what's new with you?
Oh, well, by the time this recording comes out, or by the time this podcast comes out, I will have finished at Microsoft. So this week is my final week. So it's pretty mixed emotions for me, really. It's quite sad on one side, and I'm kind of looking forward to it on the other side. So, it's like anything, right? There's two sides to every coin, and I've thoroughly enjoyed my time, but I'm also looking forward. So
that's cool, man. It's fun challenges, and congratulations on a second stint at Microsoft.
Yeah.
Best wishes going forward. I can't wait to just the conversations that hopefully we get to keep having about this kind of stuff. Updating people on the podcast, what's going on, but I guess more just, I'm looking forward to just hanging out and just talking about this whole ISV venture that you're going on. That'll be really cool to follow.
Yeah, me too. I'm really looking forward to it and can't wait to get stuck in.
There we go.
So so this week we have a couple of news items we want to get through, and then we want to flip over to talk through a recent blog post that you put up on August the 25th. We'll go into in more detail about SharePoint and platforms and development and things like that, because it's stirring up quite a bit of conversation. And so we thought it'd be really good to talk about that. And also, I have also heard from some of our friends that listen to this podcast that we don't talk about SharePoint development enough, which kind of blew me away because I thought we talk about it quite a bit. But I think it'll be a good one to go through and talk about. But before we do that, why don't you kick us off with some news?
Absolutely. So we got a couple Azure bits that are a couple new bits of Azure news. So really quick things. We've got things like the Azure Data Factory is now generally available. Row-level security and Azure SQL databases is generally available. the G series and the GS series VMs are now available in a bunch of new regions. And so I think some of these new regions are things like places like the East, US 2, US West, and West Europe regions all got these. And finally, and then in addition, is the premium storage is now generally available in Japan East. There's one also bit of a kind of a conference that I think that people might be interested in. There's something called Azure Con. So Azure CON. If you go do a search for Azure Con, that's we'll put it up in the show notes. There's a live one-day virtual event on September the 29th, 2015. And it's going to be, it just says top engineers will discuss easy to adopt technologies and cutting edge innovation, and current customers will share best practices and their experience with Azure to accelerate time to market, differentiate from the competition, and reduce costs. So Scott Guthrie is going to be there, and I think he's doing the keynote. So should be interesting, free event, free training, all good.
Very cool. Yeah, that'll be a nice show.
Yeah.
A nice thing to tune into.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, I've got one about a news article that came out. It was actually posted on Recode, but it talks about a report from Okta, which we've referenced before, but this is a new report that came out a few days ago. And the news article on Recode is entitled "Microsoft Beats Out Salesforce as Most Widely Used Cloud App for Businesses." And the report that backs this by Okta, there's a link, we'll link to it off in the show notes, but the report from Okta is fascinating. It's really interesting. So basically, for those who don't know, Okta are a cloud identity provider, I guess. Maybe I'm not doing them the right level of service there, but they basically let you authenticate to different cloud applications using whatever identity your company uses. And they take care of all of that's kind of the intermediary between your identity and the apps that you use out there on the internet. And for the technically minded, it's kind of identity federation, right? You could sign in with, you know, a magic eight ball, right? Hmm. And then Okta will take care of federating that identity with, you know, like Salesforce and Office 365 and all of the other apps that they work with. So they get some really interesting statistics about what applications people use in the cloud, because Okta is pretty popular. And so in this report, they said they've analyzed the use of 4,000 different cloud applications at 2,500 companies in 185 countries.
Wow, that's pretty good sample size.
Yeah, I think so. One piece of commentary that's come up around this is that it's really sort of focused at larger enterprise businesses, not small and medium businesses, right? Because Okta, if you've got an identity problem, you're typically a slightly larger company. Mm. You've probably got an identity problem as a small company. You just don't quite know how to fix it.
You haven't identified your identity problem.
That's right. You haven't identified it. Identify the problem, fix it. And so that the report's a little skewed to the larger enterprises. But anyway, so this Okta report basically says that Office 365 has overtaken Salesforce as the most widely used cloud application, beating the popular Salesforce.com application, which has been the leading contender for a number of years in this regard. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like we saw this coming a while back. Okta said it's just a matter of time, and they showed a graph with the curve of Salesforce adoption and the curve of Office 365 adoption. But Office 365 was still a little way behind, and now it's overtaken it, which is pretty sweet.
It's significant, right? I mean, I think it's not too surprising, because when you do see the adoption of Office 365 and you look at Salesforce, and Salesforce is CRM, where Office 365 is so much more. It's not just collaboration with SharePoint, which is what a lot of people think, a lot of our audience thinks, but it's Exchange. That's the big one for me.
Yeah.
And so you look at like how much your mail, your calendar, your contacts, then your presence, your communications, your collaboration, it's so much more than just CRM. So, I mean, it's not surprising, but I think, you know, what's really significant about this is that when we've talked about software as a service, when the industry talks to software as a service, Salesforce was the software as a service. They're the ones that really kind of put the stake in the ground in this business and really defined it and really, really, really defined how the game is played and what SaaS really is. So this is pretty darn significant and a hell of an accomplishment for Office 365 to do this. So it's very impressive.
In a few short years. Yeah, they've got some key findings I'll run through real quick because they're kind of interesting. The first one is size doesn't really matter in the cloud. So what they're saying is that most businesses now use between 11 and 16 off-the-shelf cloud applications, and a 40% increase year over year, which I thought was pretty fascinating. The second finding is, if software is eating the world, businesses are hungry. Nom, nom, nom. So they're basically saying they're using more software, more websites, more portals, more cloud-based apps to connect with partners and customers and contractors and so forth. The third finding is the reliance on the security questions, what's your mother's maiden name, is declining. And so basically where they're going with this is that multi-factor auth is taking off.
Yep.
With text options and push notifications to your phone and things, this multi-MFA gets a whole bunch easier. You're either in or you're out. Enterprise apps can be easily ousted. So they're basically saying that the move to the cloud makes it easier to switch in and switch out best-of-breed applications. Which I thought was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the fifth one is Asia-Pacific might be down under, but not when it comes to enterprise, cloud, and mobile. And so basically they're saying here that Asia-Pacific is 2 to 3 years behind the rest of the world in terms of adoption, but our data suggests the region is further along in a few ways. So that, you know, they're saying Asia-Pacific's ahead in mobile, for example, mobile adoption with an average of 23.8% of users regularly logging in from mobile devices, and tied with North America in terms of off-the-shelf cloud apps that they use. And then the sixth finding is SAML is finally the security standard it set out to be. And so they've basically got some interesting statistics in there about how many cloud apps support SAML for authentication, and how fast cloud apps are adding SAML for authentication than in the past.
Hmm.
So they've got this interesting graph that I can't remember the data off the top of my head, but they basically say, you know, a couple of years ago, it was maybe a year before they added SAML auth, and now it's like 2 months or something.
Hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. So six interesting findings that you should go check out in that report from Okta.
Yeah, we will definitely put that in the show notes. I haven't read it yet, so I'm curious to grab the link and go take a look at it myself, pull it off, so maybe read offline on the plane on the way home. But Yeah,
it's pretty lengthy and very graphical. So you'll want to make sure you get all the graphs and stuff.
Yeah, definitely want pictures.
Yeah, groovy.
Pictures are good.
Yeah, nice.
Cool.
Okay, so on to the meat and potatoes. I said in the intro, we're going to be talking to blogger extraordinaire, Andrew Connell. Do you happen to know who that might be?
I don't know. No, I know. I'm just AC. I don't know who the other guys are.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, blame the other guy. So you posted on August the 25th a post titled Developers, SharePoint isn't a platform, SharePoint is a service. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but basically what you're saying is build beside and connect, don't build on.
That's a really good way to sum it up, yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about that, because it's obviously that's distilling it right down to the absolute rudimentary bare bones, but when you go into a little more detail about what you meant, and I guess first we should say this caused quite a stir, and you're getting a bunch of commentary on the blog and on Twitter and things about this. And it's because it cuts to the bone of this old world versus new world, or old way versus new way, or, you know, developers that have been doing things one way for a long period of time versus devs that are doing things a different way today.
I think what I want to do real quick is let me read the post I did. It's fairly lengthy, but what I did is I do what a lot of other people do is I did one of those TLDRs at the top of it, which basically says the post is too long. I didn't read it. So let me just give you the executive summary of it. And then if you want the meat and potatoes of why I actually think this, then you can read on. So this is just like 2-3 paragraphs. Let me go ahead and read this real quick. So I'll let you know when we get off of this. So to start with it, quote, it's long overdue for many of the SharePoint developers who keep complaining about the state of developing and extensibility that the app/add-in model sold as the successor to solution-based development to move on. The sooner these developers embrace the present-day SharePoint, regardless if it is on-premises or hosted in Office 365, that it's a service and not a development platform, the better development life gets and the quicker you can move on. Stop building stuff that is deployed into SharePoint and stop trying to change the way SharePoint works. The more you try, the more frustrated you get and the less success you have. Plus, one day, something will change and your stuff will break and everyone will have some great flame war again. Microsoft wants this to be a service. The sooner you accept that and move on, the easier things get and the more you'll accomplish. Put all your stuff either 100% outside of SharePoint or 100% inside of SharePoint as a single atomic unit, such as a SharePoint hosted add-in, or use their client app part, client web part / iframe or div model. Stop trying to change the SharePoint experience. Take it for what it is. That's it.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, for me, here's the thing. Since I posted this, it's been pretty interesting because it's only been, I guess, about 24 hours since I posted it. at the time of the recording. And I've gotten a bunch of comments on Twitter, a bunch of comments on my blog. Some people have shared it on Facebook, and there've been kind of long discussions on Facebook. I wish those would actually happen either on Twitter
or in the comments.
Yeah, I wish it happened in the comments, because there's a really good discussion going on. And I also I have to tell you about this experience. I also, like a few hours after I posted this, I had to go give a session titled Migrating from Fully Trusted Code to the Add-In Model. And it's kind of funny because I didn't exactly pitch the session. It was asked that I would do the session. So I kind of had to walk in there and be like, okay, so here's what everyone tells you that you should be doing. Don't be doing branding stuff like this. And here's the PMP guidance. And here's this and here's that. But I started it with, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to break the session into two pieces. The first piece, I want to just kind of jump on a soapbox. And I kind of went through everything we're talking about in this episode today. And then I said, now let's cut this off. And let me tell you what the rest of the stuff is going on. You should have seen the look on the people's faces when I was like, and it was funny because it was pretty sizable margin of people who had not migrated yet, and they were getting ready to start doing it. So it's a great time for them to have this discussion. And I just said, well, let me tell you how you're supposed to go through and do SharePoint development. Don't do SharePoint development. And it was like mic drop. And I had like two or three people like drop their pens. Like, what?
What's he saying? You're crazy, man.
Yeah. And I think, for me, here's the thing. And this kind of goes back to what you were saying a second ago. And we can go into the more details of why I think this and the history of everything. The post goes into a lot more detail, and I don't know if we want to rehash it here in the episode, just more of a discussion, but you guys can go take a look at it. Here's the thing, is that to me, this kind of came up in the comments too, where someone was saying, Microsoft has invested all this time, and all these companies have invested all of these resources and training and stuff to get these developers to be SharePoint developers. And now they're telling us, Microsoft isn't telling you this, to be clear. I'm saying it, and there's a lot of people that agree with this, so it's not just me. This is not an original idea. But it's not so much that Microsoft is telling you to do this. It's that Microsoft is adopting the way the rest of the web is going. When you build for Salesforce, when you build for Facebook, when you build for all these different cloud applications, what do? You don't run your code inside of these apps. They have their experience on Rails. And when that phrase basically means they own the platform, they own the updates, take it or leave it, this is how it works. The problem that we have in SharePoint, if you want to do any customizations, if you want to build a game for Facebook, if you want to build something that's going to extend Salesforce, you do that outside of those platforms or those services, and then you connect to them using OAuth over services, blah, 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 make your stuff work. The thing that is challenging for us in SharePoint is that we have grown up from the very beginning time, and we've been told, and we've all evangelized, and we've all been doing this and showing customers how to do this, of how to customize and bend and make SharePoint do all these different things we want it to do. So we've got this baggage. Mm. It's clear to me that where does Microsoft want to take SharePoint? The future of it is with Office 365 and moving forward. And what about these people that are on-prem? I may be being a little too blunt, and you might want to jump in and kind of correct me a little bit here, because you still do have a blue badge and you're employed by Microsoft. But the way I look at it, SharePoint 2016 is a snapshot of what we have in SharePoint Online and Office 365, with some stuff to make it work on-prem and make it to kind of hook up and be a little more hybrid friendly with the cloud. But SharePoint on-prem is simply an implementation, maybe a scaled-down implementation of SharePoint in Office 365. The future of it is in Office 365. The innovation is happening in Office 365. That stuff will make its way to on-prem. You won't see unique things coming in on-prem. So much so that I'll just be as blunt as I can. SharePoint 2016, the preview bits came out this week for people to go grab and download. I didn't even pay attention to it. I didn't even realize that they were available. I have no interest in going and building a VM, because from a development point of view, there's nothing new there. And there's some features there, but it's like, it doesn't really impact me so much. That stuff that you're talking about, that's all that new stuff, it's already there in 365. And I know there's some new things that are there on-prem, but it doesn't really impact the bigger picture.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be the subset rather than the superset, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's any great surprises that there's going to be new things going into 365 faster than on-prem. That's just the nature of the beast, right?
Yep.
And then eventually, you know, there'll be a release done for on-prem, and those things some of them will make it and some of them will not.
Yep.
Right, down onto on-prem. I'm biased, right? Like, you should take my opinion with a grain of salt, right? Because I work at the company.
Yeah.
But I honestly, If you asked me this question a few years ago, I would answer it totally differently. You know, we both made our careers on SharePoint stuff, right?
Yep.
We used to go preach, go do full trust code, go bend SharePoint in weird and wonderful ways. And there are a lot of people that made their name by knowing how to do black magic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And still do, right?
Yep.
And they charge exorbitant rates for it.
Yep.
Maybe that's a little harsh. They make a good living out of it, right? Back then, people were saying to me when I worked on the WSS team, stop making SharePoint so weird. Why do I need like some crazy bizarre development technology? I just want to do
MVC,
C#, yeah. MVC stuff.
Yeah.
This was before even MVC. It was just like, I just want to do like regular ASP.NET stuff. I want to be able to, you know, and I've banged on about this for, you know, years, but they were asking for it back then. And the reason is because anybody that looked at SharePoint coming at it new was like, that's like a black box I don't understand. And I'm not willing to invest the 2 to 3 years to become a so-called expert to know how to bend it in the ways that I want to bend it.
Yep.
And it was great if you knew what you were doing and you could get stuff done. And it was an amazing platform for that, right? And it's succeeded and it's done a great job because of that. But the fact of the matter is like the vast majority of developers in the world didn't want to touch it with a barge pole because it was so bizarre in comparison to the rest of the development world. And so every step we've made over the last 5 years has been to become less weird. And I think finally we're getting to the point where it's like, yeah, cool. Now you can go build stuff with Ruby or with ASP.NET running in Azure using whatever the JavaScript framework of the day is that you want to use, right?
Yeah.
And you need to know some SharePoint stuff, don't get me wrong, right? You need to know about our APIs and all of that. So you still got some learning to do, but it's not dissimilar to learning any other service.
Okay, yeah. So I started to cringe a little bit when you said you do need to know some SharePoint stuff. And I was like, no, you don't. It's no different than learning any other platform where you have to learn their API. So yeah, that last part you said.
No, I don't mean the protocols. I mean like you need to know what a list is if you want to use a list, yeah, for example. Or
you need to know how to work with the REST service. I mean,
yeah.
The thing to me is that I was one of those people. I mean, I fully admit, I even said it in this post, some people that are listening to this going, nice try, AC. You were the one that was spouting this off 2 years ago or 4 years ago. You were telling us to build our apps on top of SharePoint. And I totally agree. And I totally recognize that this is a 180 from stuff that I've told people in the past. But here's the thing is that we want to make, it's better for Microsoft. It's better for Microsoft that SharePoint, that the barrier to entry in SharePoint, be it end user, be it IT pro, be it developer, it is better for SharePoint as a platform and thus better for Microsoft if the barrier to entry is low. And the barrier to entry prior to when you were doing SharePoint, let's say back in the 2010 days, then it was a lot of work. There was a pretty significant investment just to be productive. But today, you don't need to be a SharePoint person to be building for 365. To me, today, all you need to be is a web developer. There are two technologies that you need to understand, OAuth and how to talk to services.
Yeah.
Whether they're CSOM, whether they're REST APIs, those are the two core technologies that you need to understand. Aside from that, bring whatever you got. Bring whatever you want, show up, and now you can talk to it, and it's much more extensible. I try now to do everything I possibly can to not do SharePoint-isms. I try not to do things like creating like external lists, like programmatically kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to go through and to change the ribbon. I try not to go through and to customize the way that forms work and all that stuff. Why? I just feel like I'm going down this hole of like, this is so specific and I have no idea this is going to work. It doesn't feel like just standard web dev. I want to be able to build something and have it live external to SharePoint. Or I want to be able to have something surface inside of SharePoint and it doesn't have anything in there that is from like a SharePoint namespace to an extension or a Microsoft namespace. I want to be able to do classic web dev. I want to be able to, as developers, this model is actually good for us as developers because if anybody's been, any developer that's been doing SharePoint for a while, if you've ever tried to do unit testing, a lot of fun with that, right? What about continuous integration or automated deployments? Is it possible? Absolutely, it's possible. But it's also possible to get to Mars. It's just a lot of freaking work right now that we're just not willing to do, right? Well, I'm willing to do it, but
so I know a lot of people would say, like, this is all great, right? But my customers are asking for me to fiddle around with the forms in a list or the branding of a site or, you know, adding certain, you know, building an intranet and things like that. So, like, what would you say, you know, there's consultants out there and developers out there that are in these customers and being asked these things. What would you sort of say to those folks?
It's a great question. This came up in my session yesterday as well. And we had a really good discussion about it. I've been having these conversations. This is not some like thing I just decided to write about yesterday morning.
Yeah. You alluded to it in a podcast a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah. We had a question from Greg a couple of weeks ago that he's like, you know, what do you need the add-in model for? And I'm like, oh man, you're getting me close on this. This is coming. So, I mean, I've been wanting to put this on a hard copy and blog about it, or just to have something to point to for a long time. So look, here's the thing is that when I've had this conversation with customers and they say, you know, we want to go through and do this. We want SharePoint to do this. We want a custom brand. We want to customize the forms. We want it to work like this and this and this. And I think that, you know, as a consultant, you know, we're the vendor and they are, or as an employee, we're the employee or the vendor, they're the client or they're the boss. And what they want to do, they're going to pay us to do it, and we're going to do it, and that's all fine and good. I personally feel that our role is not just to sit down and start banging away at a keyboard and get stuff done. I think that our role is to also act as a subject matter experts and help educate the people that we're working with. And so to me, I sit down with a customer when they say that they want to do all this stuff that's like customization in SharePoint and building web parts and all that kind of custom pages or custom application pages or customizing the ribbon. I have the conversation with them about where does Microsoft want SharePoint to go and where are they going to go with it? And what can we look at and just say that, what can we guarantee that where things are going and do the best level of prediction that we possibly can? Okay. Now let's look at the past. How many times have we banked on something with SharePoint only to have a new version come out and have a pivot? Or have a brand new thing? And that's not a slam on Microsoft. That's a response to customer feedback. That's a response to think of them learning new things or discovering new things or better technology that's available. But things change. And we're dependent on that stuff until the next version. And then until the next version, the next version, the next version. I think the pitch is, would it not be better for us to be able to build something that is completely isolated from whatever Microsoft decides with SharePoint? And then that's pretty much what they're doing with 365 and SharePoint, and giving us all these APIs, giving us this app model to be able to distribute stuff. And you know, to kind of touch on a point here is one or two people brought this up. I in no way am I in that article. I am no way saying the current app model or add-in model is dead. I am in no way saying farm solutions are dead or sandbox solutions are dead, because none of that stuff is dead. All of it works. All of it works today. The only thing that does not work is farm solutions in Office 365 and sandbox solutions that have custom server-side code.
Yeah.
That is the only stuff that will not work in Office 365. Otherwise, all this stuff worked everywhere, and it works just fine. The only thing that all of those different models are simply deployment vehicles to get your stuff into SharePoint. Today, I always try to build something that is completely outside. This is part of the conversation with the customer. Let's build something that lives completely outside of SharePoint. And if they say, well, no, I want to be able to surface it as a web part, as a widget inside of my intranet. Okay, then we'll use an add-in that'll do a client web part that'll point to some other thing that's running somewhere else. Mm. And they're like, well, then you're kind of breaking this whole thing you're talking about. I'm like, no, I'm not. You're not building anything that's living inside of SharePoint or tightly coupled with SharePoint. I'm building something that lives on the outside, completely self-contained. I'm simply opening a window to it inside of SharePoint, and I'm using the add-in model to simply just create that little box on the page for me that's going to be a window into something else.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to build a single page app and I'm going to deploy it as a SharePoint hosted app and have it live inside of SharePoint and take over the entire experience so my users have a very easy deployment story. It's hosted by Microsoft and hosted by SharePoint, and it's going to be buried right inside the existing application, right? I'm not going to try to inject stuff inside the host web. I am not going to be using things like JS Link or trying to customize, you know, creating lists in the host web and stuff like that, because you're going down a path that I have to question is going to be sustainable or is going to be easily testable or it's going to be something that you can maintain or that it's something that there's no change that's going to happen there's no chance of a change happening that could impact what you've done.
Yeah, the equation of you know, the balance between that equation, or you've got to look at when you're doing the dev, what are our different options and what are the pros and cons on each side? Like that's it. It's becoming a harder and harder call to make to not go down that route, I think. Like the pros are getting greater than the cons. One thing that really frustrates me with this whole conversation is that people sort of expect nothing to ever change. But at least that's the way I read it, you know, like, yep. Yeah, like, don't change anything. It's like, well, do you want to be able to do more stuff or not? And this is something I struggle with, you know, because, you know, we currently work at Microsoft and soon to be not, but still do. And people are like, just for the love of God, don't change anything. Like you changed it. You've changed it a million times. Well, no, we haven't. We changed it once in SharePoint 2013 when we introduced the app model, mm-hmm. and we've been incrementally adding more APIs and more auth options and things like that going forward in the cloud. But we haven't completely rebooted the model. We've been trying to incrementally make the current one better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't understand the argument with that sort of change where we want to broaden the scenarios you could do, we want to broaden the APIs you can call to get more done. And look, like you're just living in complete cuckoo land if you think nothing's ever going to change, because that's just not reality.
Yeah, and the thing that I like about this mindset that I outline here, the thing that really appeals to me about this is that this is really following the way that all web development happens outside of SharePoint. I think, you know, I got a couple comments from stuff in the...
Yeah, it's really not like we're making this stuff up.
I know. I mean, this is all Microsoft is doing with this. They're just basically saying, we support what everybody else does. We support all the other stuff that's out there that you can take advantage of. You know, you don't have to be a .NET developer to do this stuff. You don't have to go through and to build things our way to do it. You can use whatever you want. I mean, a case in point, I don't do any .NET right now. I don't work with .NET at all right now. I work mostly with Node.js. Why? Well, yeah, partly because there's a bunch of people who are interested in it. And so I'm working with it to try and help people understand what this stuff is and how to use it. But the other part of it is, you know, frankly, I've been doing .NET since it first came out for, what is it now, 15 years. I want to just kind of mix it up and do something a little bit different. I mean, I'm a technologist and I like to kind of play with this stuff and it's interesting. And frankly, I'm pretty productive with it. And so I enjoy it. But the other side too, is that it's kind of proving the point and it also is helping you guys because it's showing that, hey, look, you don't have to do .NET stuff. Just give me an OAuth model with a lot of capabilities with it. Give me a bunch of REST APIs to be able to do a lot of stuff inside the platform and then get out of my way. Give me a change log to let me know what's updating and coming in Office 365 so that I can prepare for it if I want to be able to take advantage of new services. But don't sit there and try and invent some brand new widget of, you know, here's this cool new thing that we've done to go through and to pull this other stuff and there's new kinds of things that you can build and everything. Like, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in that anymore. I don't want to do it. I don't want to rely on you guys for that anymore. I want to do my web dev, the classic web dev. I like the models that are out there. I like being able to deploy to Azure. Just let me talk to the application and let me do some limited kind of customizations with it. And the customers that say, yeah, but I want it to look like this and I want it to work like this and I want it to do this kind of stuff. I'm like, look, you've got two choices today. You can have massive upfront cost, massive capital expense to buy SharePoint, stand it up on-prem, backup, restore, IT pros, all that kind of stuff. And then you own it, you babysit it, you control when it's patched and you deal with all that stuff. Or you can pay much smaller operating cost for $5 a user, $20 a user, depends on the license you get, but you have a monthly cost that you spend on Office 365 and you outsource the entire management and upgrade story and backups and all that stuff and performance management, you outsource that to Microsoft. And in exchange for that, you get an experience that's basically on rails. You don't like the way SharePoint looks? Guess how many people say, I don't like the way the Salesforce looks. Like, oh yeah, but my customer wants this, my customer wants that. That's fine. You can't sit there. You can continue to try and do this. This is a phrase that I love to use, but it's kind of questionable. It can be questionable company kind of a phrase here. So I'll throw it out there anyway. You can keep trying to go through and brand SharePoint Online all you like. But as far as I'm concerned, it's like pissing into the wind. There's no way you slice it. It's not going to come out. You can't make it come out as a good experience and that you're not going to have something bad come out of this entire experience. Microsoft is going to continue to roll out updates in 365. It's going to update your branding. It's going to update the customizations you do. It's just one of those classic things.
Yeah, and it's fun if you want to fight that fire, right? If you know what you're getting yourself into and you're prepared to deal with the tax that comes along from that, because for whatever reason, whether it's an absolute must-have requirement or you just want it, then that's cool. But go in knowing it, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think your summary for this blog post is, like top sort of couple of bullets from this post and where to find it?
So if you go to my blog, it's up on my blog. It was posted on August the 25th, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes. It's titled
Developers, SharePoint isn't a platform, SharePoint is a service.
There you go. Thanks. I think the big takeaway for me is when you sit down to go do development, when you go down to do something, build something for SharePoint or for Office 365 by extension, and to be clear, all of this stuff applies to 365 and on-prem.
Yeah.
I would follow the exact same thing. The decision matrix that you need to go through, you need to sit down and you need to say, when I build this, how am I going to build it? Step one, can I build this completely outside as just a standard web application and have it talk to 365 or SharePoint? No, I can't. Okay. Then let's drop down to the add-in models and let's see if we can use either the provider hosted / cloud hosted, or if we can use the SharePoint hosted model to go through and to get done what I need to get done. Can't do that? Okay. Now let's drop down to the sandbox. Let's do it with the sandbox. Frankly, if you follow all the way down to the next step, which is now we have to do it with fully trusted code, which means you're only going to be able to do it on-prem, that's about the time when I start to get in the sandbox and in the farm trust or fully trusted solutions. That's about the time when I start to kind of looking around, look at the problem that we're doing and just saying, should we really be doing this? Should we really be building this thing the way, is our requirement really the right thing that we're trying to do here? Or should we try and see if there's a better way to achieve what we're trying to do?
Mm.
That's the approach that I take with this stuff.
Yep. Now that makes sense. That makes sense. Keep an open mind and evaluate all your options.
Yep. That's it.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks for going through the post. And for those of you who haven't read it yet, we'll link to it in the show notes, and as well as the news articles from earlier in the show. And we will speak to you all again next week.
Absolutely. Good talk again, CJ. And enjoy the final throes of your last week at Microsoft.
Cheers, mate.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.